Officer Clemens.
Hi, Mrs. Clemens. Won't you come in?
Great to live in a neighborhood with special people like Officer Clemens. Officer Clemens, come in.
Rogers, how are you?
Fine, won't you sit down?
Oh, sure, just for a moment.
It's so warm, I was just putting some water on my feet.
Oh, it sure is.
Would you like to join me?
It looks awfully enjoyable, but I don't have a towel or anything.
Oh, you share mine.
Okay,
sure. Cool water on a hot day. Welcome. I'd like you to know my neighbor.
Oh, hello.
Sometimes just a minute like this will really make a difference.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
In Mr. Rogers' style, when he would come in and do his PBS program for many years, he would take off his jacket, and he would even, in the early shows, he would take off his shoes and put on like some sneakers, but I didn't want to do that because of our time, amen? And maybe he'll do that in the coming weeks, but I'm going to put on my Mr. Rogers sweater today. Is that cool with everybody? Yeah? And Linda and Leonard got this for me, and so they fixed it up for me, so thank God for it, right? It's just a different mantle, and we're going to preach even better, right? Give me a good amen. So thank God, amen. Hey, senior lunch is going to be on our slides here, and we want to make sure that you know about that. If it did go down, I'll tell you about it. It's immediately after service. If you're a senior adult, young at heart, amen, we want you to be part of that. There's always good food. Irma and I will be there also. We're going to love to just eat with you, and we're going to eat a lot, so I hope you bought some good food, amen. And so it would be a blessing. And I know they're trying their best. If something like this happens, it's because they're trying. We don't, I'm probably more concerned than you are. So we'll just go on. The second thing that we need to talk about is our summer blast. It's happening, as you heard in the announcements, on August the 5th through the 7th. It's kinder through fifth grade. And we're opening up, of course, to the whole church, all of our children, but we're going outreach style again. We did this years past, and we're going to the Argonne Apartments, which are right at West Military and Marbach Road, and we'll be doing it in their courtyard outside when the sun is going down. There'll be great teaching, Bible teaching. We're going to reach the children within that community. We're also asking across the street the Marbach Manor Apartments to come over. We're having food, the blessings of God upon the children there, and so we need great donations. There are cans that are outside that have been decorated by our children's
ministry. In 1996,
they can
the KKK
be a
was holding
to you by filling them up with school supplies for the children of our community. What I'd like you to do, if you can extend this is real important, is I think we have about 4 cans that are decorated that we need to take into the community. Like shopping centers where people will see them, that high visibility
places. In 1996,
and they can fill
the
them
KKK
up so
was holding
them
a meeting.
Amen. We'll do our part as a church, but let's get our community involved and our grocery places and that sort of thing. Would you do that for me? Would you consider that? And if you can do that, either see Leno Hodge today, Hodges, or see Howard Varial. He's on the front row, and he can help you direct. He'll give you a can to take. Amen? And then you'll bring your can back to church. Does that sound okay? Yeah, you didn't even get that. Amen. Get your can back to church after you fill it up, right, everybody? And so that's all good. Amen. Let's welcome our first-time guest. Amen. We're thankful that you're here. We're blessed and so honored that you've come for the very first time to Living Faith Church. Again, make sure you fill out the Connect card and meet one of our leaders at the Welcome Center, and they'll give you a free gift, and we're grateful for you. We're grateful for you. We're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and go. Amen. Let's welcome the Facebook Live audience. Come on, give them a big, big welcome. We're thankful for them. Do you have your message notes handy? Yeah, if you don't, raise your hand, and we'll get an usher to give you those. We'll give a great worker, but you need to raise your hand. Amen. It makes the 3-hour sermon seem like just 30 minutes, 10 minutes. Amen. going once, going twice. Everybody have one? Yes, amen. And Facebook, you're going to get your messages dropped down. They're usually on the screen right now in the comment section. You can fill that out, how you can participate. And we're thankful again that you're here. We're going to do a new series today. We're launching. I'm excited to Won't You Be My Neighbor? And we're taking it off the theme of Fred Rogers, who was an ordained minister many years. He had the longest probably syndicated program on public on PBS. And his thought wasn't, I'm not going to be a flashy program, but I'm going to use something that's simple and teach principles. And he did that as the intro showed us right now. And so the thought of it was that that we can be good neighbors. And I'm going to address a subject that's kind of heavy for the very first one, probably the first time that we've ever done something like this and dedicated a whole message. But it's necessary for our church to grow in all aspects of faith, and thank God for it. So our theme scripture will be Mark chapter 12, verse 29 and 31. Let's look at that together on the screen. And it says, Jesus answered, he told a smart man this. The most important command is this: people of Israel, listen, the Lord your God is only one God. And love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and all your... You can talk back, and you're going to look around, man, we can talk in this church, and you can talk in this church, it's all good. Amen. See, every act of obedience, just based on that, it is empty if you don't love God first. Everything that you're doing for God, if you're not loving God first, then it's going to be very empty. It comes with a relationship, right, everybody? Amen. I can come to church, but if I'm not coming because I love God, then it's empty. Amen. It's a ritual. It becomes something that a Pharisee will do. The second most important command is this: love your neighbor as the same as you love yourself. And some of y'all love yourself a whole bunch. Social media is evident of it. Amen. It's death to selfie today. Give me a good amen. Hashtag death to selfie. Amen. Because we love ourselves and we take pictures of ourselves. We take care of ourselves. And, oh, I'm aching, I better take a Motrin. Amen. Whatever it might be, we love ourselves. And so if we love ourselves that much, Jesus is saying you better love your neighbor just even more so. Give me a good amen. The final sentence is these two commands are the most important. So if you can't do these two, you can't do the rest of the 10. Amen. Or the rest of the 8. Yeah. And so God would want you to do this. I love the cross, and the symbol behind me is this, because vertical means my relationship with God. God came down and he loved me in the form of Jesus, and he died for a sinner named Mario and you, amen, included. And so that was vertical love. Give me a good amen. Amen. And God bless you, amen. And then the horizontal is the cross, and that's where I love God, but I need to love people. I need to extend, and I need to love you, and you need to love people on outside of the walls. Amen. It's easy to love Christians, right? Somebody's saying, you know, I love you during the greeting time, or I missed you, and that sort of thing. But we love people that aren't like us. We love people that are different than us, because that's the real gospel of Jesus, right? And so from a very limited perspective, I prayed all week long that I would be a blessing as I prepared. And so I'm not an expert on this, but I want to speak about how Jesus healed racism, And we're the church. And what I do know is this, that the church should be leading the way on overcoming racism and overcoming just that, and showing the people the right way it's done. And so this expert of the law came to Jesus in our passage, and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him what we just read, love the Lord your God. And he said, you know what, I've done that. In other translations of the Gospels, the guy even said this. That's how good he was. He quoted the law that every Jewish boy would know, every Jewish young man would know. And he quoted, love the Lord your God. And then he said, love your neighbor. He says, I've done that. And he says, well, Jesus said, well, who is my neighbor? The man wanted to justify himself. He said, who's my neighbor? And Jesus told him, he didn't tell him that his neighbor was the guy across the street, the guy that he's coming in contact at his work. Jesus told him, had a neighbor. Somebody say, had a neighbor. And I thought that was so interesting in our story. It's not really who's your neighbor today, but how you should neighbor. And Jesus said, this is the person you should neighbor, and this is the person you should neighbor. He said, no, let me tell you a story. And everybody was listening, and it was a shocking story at that moment. It wasn't this little Sunday school story that we put flannel gifts. He said that this Jewish man was traveling on the road to Jericho, and he got beat up, busted up, bloodied, battered by a bunch of bandits that wanted to, that took everything, left him empty, no money, credit cards were taken, and left him by the side of the road dying. And it said first a Jewish priest came along, and that priest probably didn't want to touch him because of the law saying if you touch something that's dead or half dead, you become unclean. And so he walked around and, you know, did this. You know, the guy's like this. I don't want you to touch. And I'm busy. I'm going to the temple. I got to preach for the 10:30 service. I'm late already. Amen. I got to get there. I'm late for the 9 a.m. service. None of y'all. Amen. But me. Amen. So he walked around. And finally, the assistant came by. Maybe he was a music guy. I don't know. He was a Levi, the Bible says, which they were famous for singing. Amen. And that guy also saw him, and he was under law. And he said, you know what? I'm going to be late, and pastor's going to get mad at me if I don't start right at I am singing the song. So I am the great I am. I can't mess with him. And he went around. And it says, finally, this despised half-breed at that moment in history was a Samaritan. And the Samaritan had pity on him, and he walked towards him. And it says this, and look at this, in Luke chapter 10 on the screen or in your devices today, and it's there for you. It says, but a Samaritan, as he traveled, came to where the man was, and he saw on him, and he took pity on him, and he went to him. In other words, he walked across the street to get to him. He didn't walk around him. He said, look at that man. He needs help, and I need to go to him. And he bandaged his wounds, and he poured in oil, and he poured the wine. And so it didn't matter if the man liked different music, was tattooed, right? Was pierced, had different skin because he did, had an accent. The man walked towards that man that was hurting. And then he put the man on his donkey and he brought him to the inn and he took care of him. In the culture at this time, for 700 years, when the Jewish people were exiled in the Old Testament because of their disobedience from God. God said, you know what? I'm removing my covering from you. You want to do life without me? Let's see how it goes. And the Jewish people were displaced in other lands. Some Jews did not leave, though. There were few that left. And they intermarried with other races and other cultures. And because of that, some of their culture and influence got on them. And they began to celebrate different things and little gods that those other races served. They weren't serving the one true God. And so when the Jewish people finally came back to their homeland, the Middle East part of Israel, they came back, they realized, hey, look at these people. Half of them are this way and half of them are that way. And they were called Samaritans. And the Jewish people hated them because of that. And if you're like me, which I don't think you float and levitate all the time, right? You're not holy just on Sunday mornings. If somebody hates me, I'm going to probably hate them back sometimes, right? Even though I'm not supposed to. Does anybody want to confess any sins today? Amen to a brother. Amen. Yeah, you hate me, I'm going to hate you back, bro. Don't be hating me like that. Hater. I'm going to hate you back. So the Samaritan didn't hate this Jewish man. He was a good neighbor because that's who he came in contact with. And Jesus doesn't show us who our neighbor is, but he shows us, somebody say, how to neighbor. So why don't you say hello to your neighbor? Say, howdy, neighbor, the guy next to you. How about second choice? Second choice, they were left out. Say, neighbor, what's going on? Tell them, right? Yeah, amen. Nobody wants to say hello to anybody today, amen? Martin Luther King Jr., the Reverend Martin Luther King, said this in our slide, and you don't have it. It says, the first question the priest and the Levi asked was this: if I don't stop and help this man, what is going to happen to me? If I stop and help this man, what is going to happen to me? Yeah, I might get jumped. They're going to be around the corner helping me. But the Samaritan reversed the question. And he was despised and he was hated. But he said this: if I don't stop and help this man, what will happen to him? Isn't that incredible? See, the heart of the gospel is that we love God and we love people. And that's real easy, again, in the church at 10:30. But how about people that are different than you? Especially people that God loves. If we love God, we're going to love people, especially if they're different than us. Because that's the whole point of the gospel. Heaven came down in the form of Jesus, and he was really different in heaven than us. See, we were unholy. We were far away from God. We were impure. And there needed to be an answer. And blood needed to be spilled because of that's how far away we were. And so Jesus, sitting next to his Father, he says, I know what I'll do. I'll come down in the form of a man and live my life like they do. And I'll be a carpenter's son and deploy me, Father. I'll go down, be born as a baby and be raised until I'm 33. And then I'll die on the cross for them, for their sins. And if anybody loved people that were different, it was Jesus, and he set the example. I'm going to preach better than you're saying amen, right? But I'm going to get somebody to help me out. Dennis Leary, he's a famous comedian. He doesn't always do right, but I'm going to just use a quote. He said, racism isn't born, folks. It's taught. I have a 2-year-old son, and you know what he hates? Naps. If you have a 2-year-old, they're going to hate naps. No, I don't want to go to bed. They stay up. I'll go to bed. I need some water. I'm thirsty. No, go to bed. You drank water, right? And so racism, you think, well, no, I was born with racism. No, I think what I know about racism is this. How does someone become a racist? Usually they're a victim through experience. Something happened to them, something of hate hurt them or happened to another individual. And therefore, their experience brings them a hate towards a race. The second thought is this: they're taught, they're raised, because no one is born with it. You're taught to hate. And the third one is ignorance. There is no racist gene. I got a racist gene, so I hate people. Racism is not a skin issue. Racism is a sin issue. And as a follower of Jesus, as followers of Christ at the 10:30 service here today, how do we love our neighbors? How do we love those that are different than us? So with God's help, so help me God, let's look at this, these thoughts here. I got 3 thoughts for you today. Number 1, recognize our prejudice today. When we look in the mirror, sometimes it's hard to see that man or that woman in the mirror for who they really are, because we think, you know what, I'm really not a racist. I got some Mexican friends. I got some black friends. I got some white friends. You know, I love all people. But sometimes suddenly, if we say something like this out of our mouth, I'm not a racist, but nothing else will come good after that but sin. Do you understand that today? Amen. And so James spoke about favorites, and he said this in James 2:9, but if you favor some people in the context of race over others, that means, hey, you're like me, you went to college, or hey, you're like me, we lived on the other side of the track, we're all this, man, you know, they're not like us, we got this degree, my kids can play with your kids because we're from this side. No, that's favorites with others. You're committing a sin, and you're guilty of breaking the racism isn't a skin issue. Racism is a sin issue. And not right before God. And how should we be right before other people? The Webster's definition of prejudice is this: you're prejudging, preconceiving an opinion that is not based on reason or actual experience. We're raised to think something. When we were raised as kids, not to say anything about my parents because I love them and they did a great job, but we were raised with a little bit of a skew. We thought all rich people were snobs. And you know what? I've met rich people and some are snobs, but I've also met some poor people that are snobs. Can I hear a good amen?
Amen.
And I've met people that are kind that are rich, and I've met people that don't have as much money and they're kind too, right?
Amen.
How about this prejudgment? Heavy people are lazy. No, maybe they got something going on. Amen. The younger generation doesn't work. Parents, don't say amen right now. We don't know. Amen. I've seen some hardworking young people. Amen. You should have seen them when they were taking all the clothes, not stealing them, but taking them and putting them. Yeah, there were some young people and they were working hard. Some of them were. I mean, give me a good amen. Yeah. Grandma got mad at that one that didn't. Amen. Thank God for grandma coming. Amen. Straighten that boy out. Hey, how about this one? Pastors are crooks. Yeah, nobody said amen. Not in this church. I'm glad you didn't say amen to that. Amen. All pastors are crooks. Old people are boring. Nah, we're getting older. We ain't boring. And give me a good amen. Hey, I resemble that remark. Give me a good amen. White guys can't jump. Some of them can't, but that's okay. Anyway, let me move ahead before I get. Nobody gave me anything for Mexicans, and I'm a Mexican, so if you want to shout one out, amen, if you're that brave, amen. And you want to do it if you're Mexican only, amen, give me a good amen. Yeah, I'm not a racist, you know, I have Mexican friends, black friends, you may say, white friends, amen. I thought of 9/11 when the terrorist crashed, wicked people crashed into our towers and crashed in the Pittsburgh field and wanted to fly, you know, into the, and they flew into the Pentagon. And I thought about the policemen and the firemen and the EMS people that were going up into the towers before they collapsed. And as policemen do, as EMS people do, as responders do, our first responders, I don't think one of them said on that day, that horrific day in America, I wonder how many make $400,000 a year compared to the ones that make $25,000. I wonder how many, if the boss is going to get saved. I wonder if there's any black people that I can save. I wonder if there's any Mexican people or any Anglo-white people. I wonder if they, as they went up to the, you know what they were all saying, these first responders? I have to save lives. I have to get to everybody that I can save. I have to rescue everybody because everybody was a soul. It didn't matter about the color of skin at that moment. Emergencies or life crisis have a way of putting everything in perspective for us, don't they? In Living Faith today, I just want to, from the bottom of my heart, I want to tell you this, that we have the greatest rescue mission in all of humanity. You know what it is? We're rescuing people. The world is falling apart before our very eyes. And people are not only going to burn for one moment and then go off into eternity, they're going to burn forever if they don't receive the love of God and know the message of the gospel. It doesn't matter what color they are. So we shouldn't see a color when we have the gospel of Jesus Christ to bring redemption, not only to our community, but to the people across the street that live in your neighborhood. Amen. Because every soul needs God and every soul needs rescue. Give me a good amen right now. Amen. And so thank God for that today. Amen. Any racism in our hearts right now, we do what the Bible tells us to do, and that's repent. We repent of it. And then we submit to God. Lord, help me to change that I never walk this way again, and I never walk by that. I need a new mindset today. The second thought is this. Say this with me. Seek to understand others. The timeline that I've lived, here's what I noticed, and I noticed it, and I don't know if you were like me, grew up in the same neighborhood. When I was in elementary school, I had all sorts of friends, all sorts of friends, amen. But when I went to middle school, something began to change. I don't know what it was about middle school, but when I went to Kirby, back then it was junior high, now it's Kirby Middle School, I believe, on Ackerman Road. That was the first time I was called a wetback. I was never called a wetback in elementary school. I remember I went down this block on my bike and with some of my friends, and there was a new group of friends that had gathered there. And I began to be, you know, called names that Mexicans get called, like that name I just said. And I remember going home on my bike, and that was the first time. Many of you had the same experience, whatever race you were involved in or whatever you were. And I just felt like, The breath was taken out of me, and I felt so pushed back on that day as a middle schooler that I said, you know what, this doesn't, and why am I experiencing this for the very first time in my life? And that was very tame compared to maybe what you've gone through today. I've been asked this, which is kind of funny. Are you really a Mexican? Because you don't talk like a Mexican, which I think is kind of offensive. Also in the other way, being reversed. You don't act like a Mexican, and you're a coconut. You're brown on the outside, but you're white on the inside. Yeah, hurt me, poor me. No, I've been told that, and I don't want to hold back any issues in my heart along with you today. I don't want to be part of the problem because we can all be part of problems here and say, woe is me. I really want to be part of the solution as a church with you, shining bright for Jesus. How about you today? Amen? Amen. And so there's been racial tension in Jesus's day because he spoke directly at who your neighbor is. In the Apostle Paul in the early church, he spoke to a church in the Galatian church that he birthed. And he says this in Galatians 3:28. Why don't we read it together on three? Are you ready? On three. One, two, three, go. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, neither male or female. We are all one in Christ. Amen? Amen. And so there is no race. We're the human race. Amen? Amen? We're all one in Christ Jesus today. Several years ago, my wife battled cancer. She was diagnosed with cancer. And the journey began with, you know, the blood that wasn't right, and then they diagnosed that she had it, our primary care doctor. And then we got advised, we met a bunch of doctors. She went through a bunch of doctors, but one of the doctors is the oncologist, and that was the main doctor. And several years ago, we sat in waiting rooms. And what I noticed about the waiting rooms at that time was there was African-American people. There was Asian people in that room, the waiting room. There was Anglo people. There was Mexican people. Everybody was in that waiting room. And as they'd go back and sit in their chair, because my wife had to take the chemotherapy that was part of the prescription of what her route was to get healing and along with prayer and wholeness, that people sat in the chairs and some were talkative, some weren't, some sat there, some read books. But you know what I wanted? Because I went on the journey, so to speak, not as hard as she did, not even coming close, and not as hard as those other people that sat in the chemo chairs. I wanted everybody to be healed. I wanted the Asian people to be healed. I wanted the Mexican people to be healed. I wanted the African-American people to be healed. I wanted the Anglo people. It didn't matter. I got to know some of the people. And I remember this one older man. He would always talk. He would talk to the oncologist and joke with her. And she's a Middle Eastern oncologist. And so she was from India. And he told her, he said, "Doctor so-and-so, did you ever ride a camel to work?" And she would laugh, and she said, "You know, I never rode a camel, but I rode my bike. I had to ride it in India to my bike and so forth." And that man just, he lightened up the room because he was older and he was battling. And later on, we didn't see him. And Dr. Rao, we were in the appointment. And we asked, "What happened to that man that was always joking and saying, you know, did you ride a camel to work and our camel in India?" And she said, he passed. We had such a great oncologist, such a caring lady, I remember, and she serves so well. And she said, you know, she began to weep up. He didn't make it. Everyone, all colors need to survive. Amen. All colors need the love of Jesus more so than they need to survive today. God loves Asian Americans. God loves African Americans. God loves Latin Americans. God loves Native Americans. God loves Americans, even who have cats. But he loves you. Amen. God loves Cubans, God loves Hondurans, God loves Jamaicans, God loves Koreans, God loves Malaysians, Canadians, Pakistanians, God loves Iranians, God loves Russians, God loves all the people. They are all precious in his sight, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight, amen? Yeah, God, yes, to God be the God loves. We love you, Lord. Heaven is going to be very diverse, isn't it? Because we know of the Word of God today. The third thought is this. Love those that are different from you today. I want you with me today. I've asked you to do certain things, but would you take away some homework today? I want you to commit to one random act of kindness today. In your neighborhood, are people that you come in contact with, because your neighbor's not necessarily your neighbor. Your neighbor's who you see at groceries, somebody that might be in need. Maybe there's been that trash can bin that's been out there for about 3 weeks, and they need to just bring it in. And would you be kind enough to, well, they're lazy. No, be Jesus and shut your mouth and bring that trash can maybe to their garage. Well, they might get mad at me. Do it anyway. Amen. Maybe their lawn is not cut, and it's an elderly person. Why don't you go cut their grass? Why don't you cook dinner, because you know, for somebody, and make a little bit extra and take it over to that neighbor's house, because you know there's hungry children. They're there during the summertime, and you just bless that mother and father. Be generous this week with me, because God was so generous to us, beloved. God didn't need to love us, but he did. And he showed us big time how he bankrupt heaven. And I think we can make a meal. We can be kind. We can smile at people this week. Right, everybody? Amen. Amen. Let them on the on-ramp. Amen. Be nice to them. Give me a good amen. When they put their blinker on or they don't, let them come. They're going to a place. Amen. They're going. You need to let them in. Give me a good amen. Amen. The Apostle John had this revelation of heaven. And he was the closest, tightest one to Jesus. And so God gave him a revelation. In Revelations 9:7, he said this. This is what he saw in heaven. He said, there was a great multitude of people that no one could count. No one could count them. But look this. They were from every nation. Somebody say every nation.
Every nation.
That includes China, right? Yeah. That includes the Middle East, right? All the nations of the Middle East. Amen. Every tribe, every people, and every language. They didn't even speak American English. They spoke something else. They spoke different dialects. Standing before the throne of God, before the Lamb. And they cried out with a loud voice. This is where the symphony comes in. Every language is speaking. And this is what they're saying. Salvation belongs to our God, our God, our God, our God. He's a Chinese God. He's an American God, but he's also a Mexican God, because he's my God. How about you?
Amen.
Yeah, he's our God. He's our God. And they're all crying out, he saved me. He made me whole. And he sits on the throne to the Lamb of God. That's how good God is today. Amen. In heaven, I know there's going to be this marriage supper of the Lamb, and we're going to sit down and eat, all different tribes, colors. They're all going to sit with me. We're all going to sit together. Why not have a meal before then? Give me a good amen.
Amen.
Why not sit down and take some food over to that neighbor that's a different race and love people today? I'm going to show you a quick video of Oprah's series, Where Are They Now? And I'm doing it to prove a point. There was a girl named, 18-year-old girl named Kenesha Thomas, and she does this segment where the people grow up, and years later they show them when they were famous. In 1996, there was a KKK march, and they tried to separate, the police tried to separate the KKK hatred against the African-American hatred, and they were both hating on each other, but they brought it, and when they separated, one man infiltrated on the other side, and because of that, he was going to get beat to death. And look what this African-American 18-year-old girl does. It's on the video. Let's watch it together.
In 1996, the KKK was holding a meeting near the University of Michigan. Hundreds came out to protest. And that's when 18-year-old student Kenesha Thomas made headlines. She used her own body as a human shield to protect a man wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt as he was being physically attacked by protesters. In 1998, I sat down with Kenesha to talk about what that was like.
Kenesha said that she risked her own life because it was the right thing to do.
Yeah. It's the right thing to do.
Weren't you afraid that they were going to then turn on you?
I know you believe in angels, but mm-hmm. It felt like two angels had lifted my body up and laid me down. And mm-hmm. If you're covered by God, then, you know, you do what he's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You don't worry about anything else.
And so was it sort of like an out-of-body angel experience for you?
It was kind of like for women that have kids, mm-hmm. when they see their kid in danger, mm-hmm. you don't think it's a natural reaction to kind of go in there and, uh-huh. you know, do what you got to do.
But this wasn't your kid. This was a white man at a Klan rally, right, wearing a Confederate flag T-shirt.
Right. But he was still a human being.
It's been 20 years since that photo of Kenesha became a Life magazine photo of the year. So we tracked her down to find out how that day impacted her life.
When I was 18 and this whole incident happened and all of a sudden I'm in Life magazine and Oprah's calling, and I'm just a kid with an idea who at the moment did the right thing, I was overwhelmed and amazed. Now, on the flip side of that coin, I got a lot of hate mail. And a lot of people still to this day hate me. I get death threats and they want me to die because they feel that what I've done is traded my race. I do believe that people were caught up in a rage and they would have killed this man. Just like a pack of wolves, people have taken on the mob mentality and the energy in that air was extremely violent. I have never felt more sure of what I was supposed to do than in that moment. A lot of people ask me, did I ever make contact? Did he ever say thank you? I never heard from this man again. But the interesting thing about that is I was downtown at a coffee house back in the day, and a kid came up to me and said, hey, I want to say thanks. I said, thanks for what? He said, that was my dad. At the end of the day, this was somebody's father.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to thank Leonard and Alex and Mary. Thank you so much for what you do every week. Would we bless them? They put together things for me and help me make it look so easy. I appreciate them today. Keisha, you know, who does this? Who would do something like that? A committed believer would do that. Keisha said this, I knew what it was like to be hurt on the inside. And many times that it happened, I wish somebody would have stood up for me. Today, she says this, Thomas now has a platform and you know, a Facebook page and so forth. She said, you know, you don't need grand gestures to show kindness. You can do small, random, regular acts of kindness that are real important. She said, the biggest thing that you can do to be kind to a human being is it comes down to eye contact and a smile. It doesn't have to be a huge act. It can just be looking at somebody in their eyes and smiling at them. Today, during the because of the 9/11 stereotypes that we've gotten in America for years, until it was taught to me, and Jesus taught me this, and thank God for it. And I'm not perfect, but I used to the women that would wear the burqas in the grocery stores I always noticed, I would notice them, but I would kind of look at them. Well, do they have a bomb? Honestly, God forgive me, or something. Are they going to blow up this grocery store? Or I would think thoughts like that. But they're a human being, and the majority aren't going in there to do wrong. That's just what they believe. I may not believe like them, but they're still a human being. And you know what I do now? I smile at them. I look at them. And what I'm noticing about them, they've gotten so much hate. By dressing the way that they do, they don't even make eye contact with anybody. Have you noticed how they look away or they don't look down? Why don't we make it a purpose, Living Faith Church? Again, we serve the true God, but we can love people. And how are they going to know that we're Christians if we don't love people? Jesus said that they will know that you're Christians. Well, no, you got a theology degree, that you sang the best song, that you came to the great church. All that's great. But they'll know that you're Christian, Jesus said, if you love one another, if you love people. Amen. And so what makes us different is, as God's true followers of Jesus, if we're that we love all people, that we make eye contact with people and don't have to do great things, but we can smile at people. We can say a kind word to people. Amen, everybody? Amen. Racism isn't just the presence of hatred. It's the absence of love. It's when you say, I accept you and I love you today. You can show me that slide. Amen. There it is. Amen. And so all races, I look at the color of my skin and I got a hue. How about you? I think everybody has a color on their skin. Give me a good amen. Amen. No one is exactly the Crayola crayon that's white. We're all a different shade in this room. And thank God that God loves everybody today. Amen. Amen. Who's your neighbor? A neighbor is someone that you come in contact with that needs help. Who's your neighbor? Your neighbor might be across the street that has a need. Someone that needs a smile. Someone that needs maybe even a high five today. Amen. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 12. And look at this. I probably preach this as much as anything that I've ever preached, especially that last sentence. But I've never put it in the context of the first verse of verse 12 and 13. I've always said verse 13 at the very end. But look at verse 12 with me. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, who richly blesses all that call upon Him. And here's where we go. Everyone that calls on the name of the Lord, everyone that calls on the name of the Lord will be
saved.
There's only one race, one true race, and that's the human race. Amen?
Amen.
And Jesus gave His life for all the race. Amen. All of our race today. So it's not a skin issue. It's a sin issue today. And it's we need to accept God in that aspect today. Jesus didn't say, this is your neighbor. He said, how to neighbor. And He taught us in His beautiful word how to do that today. As the followers of Jesus in this room, what are we called to do? We're to love the Lord, our God, with all of our hearts, all of our strength, with all of our soul. We're supposed to do that with every energy that we got, every prayer that we got, every hope that we got. But the second most important thing that's just as important, they're equal because they're married together, is to love your neighbor as yourself. Amen.
Amen.
And so every one of us in this room, every heart in this room can be part of a small solution. And that's smiling at somebody, doing an act of kindness this week. Amen.
Amen.
Let's do that in the name of Jesus and bring glory to His name. Come on, bless the name of the Lord. Blessed be Your name, Lord. We love You, Lord. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Amen. Father, may it be true of this church. And Holy Spirit, right now, that You're healing this church. This church is a point of redemption for all people. And thank You, Lord. May we have the grace now in this room to love people and to love each other, Lord, and to love people on the outside of the walls of this church, Lord. As I reflect and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed as a Christian, I'm speaking to every Christian, every believer. The question would be right now, I really want to be part of a solution. I want to be a real neighbor. I want to be a good neighbor. I want to be a real Christian. And if that's you in this room today, would you lift your hand and just lift your hand with me and say, that's me. I want to be part of the solution, not the problem. God bless you. The Christians are raising their hand in this room, about five of you today. Thank God for the believers that are following Jesus in this room. You can put them down. And as I pray, I recognize, Lord, that we have prejudiced at times in our hearts, Lord. No one has arrived. We're all sinners in this room, saved by grace. God, help us, Lord. My brothers and sisters that lifted my seek to understand others, Lord. They may be a different color than me, but that's my brother. That's my sister. I want to understand that today. They may not listen to the music I listen to. They may not dress like I do, but that's my brother. That's my sister. I pray that we'd have grace to forgive others. You would change us if we've done something offensive. God, forgive us if we've hurt people. Thank You, Lord, if we've spoken. Lord, we want to act like people that love You, Lord, and put You first. We want to express that love to other people today. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You, Father. I want to continue to pray. The greatest act of love of somebody that was different from us, that proved and showed the way for us, was Jesus, when He came from heaven to earth. Oh, how we were different from Him. We were lost. We were blind. We were far away. We were unholy. We were unpure. We were doing rebellious acts. But the sinless man, Jesus, came to earth. And He was very different from us. And He could have pushed back and said, I'm not like them. They don't smell right. They don't act right. They're not like me. But Jesus became just like one of us, and He embraced us. He loved us. And because of that today, that's the greatest salvation message right now to everyone that's far away from God today, that God loves you. You might say, I don't deserve God's love. No, we don't. But God loves you anyway, just like He loved everybody in this room. I don't do good things. Well, no, you don't, and you'll never do good things. If it's a performance thing, you'll never perform right. You'll always come up short because you're not perfect. The only way to be part of the family of God is to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to become your Savior and then to walk with Him and follow Him all the days of your life. That's the only way, to give up your life and follow Him today. but it's the best thing, best decision that you'll ever make. So I appeal to you from my heart today, as a sinner saved by grace, make the best decision right now. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to take you to the back room once you lift your hand and speak to you. I'm going to ask right where you're at. You'll receive Christ. Lift your hand right now if that's you. I'll lead you in a prayer. I'll note your hand. I'll lead you in a prayer from the platform. You'll pray the salvation prayer. Everyone that calls upon the name of the Lord, if that's you, would you lift your hand? I'll note your hand. God bless you. God bless you, sister. My sister, two sisters, somebody else. No one looking around. This is God bless you. Yes, I see your hand. You can put it down. Someone else on this side, just making sure. I think I saw about three or four hands. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. The precious ladies of faith lifted their hands. I think a brother did too. Right now, we pray this prayer. God comes near right now. It's just a formal prayer. We pray it together. All the sinners that are saved by grace, we pray this prayer. Those on Facebook, you pray it right now. If you came on right now and you're watching, you're far, you can receive Christ as your Savior. Receive this prayer. Say this with me out loud. All the sinners saved by grace, those that raise their hand, pray it out loud, loud enough that you can hear it in your ear right now. Let's pray this prayer. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sins. Jesus, you died for all my sins. I was unpure. I was wicked. I was far away from you. But Jesus, you came close and you died for my sins. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I become a follower of Jesus this day. I follow Jesus. I turn from my ways and I follow Christ now. Thank you, God. Thank you. A new beginning, Lord. Fill the church with the Holy Spirit. Each believer in this room, fill them afresh. They have a mission now, Lord, to do. Thank you, God. Fill the people that are viewing on the internet right now. Fill them with the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. Yes, Lord. Come on, Living Faith. About five people lifted their hand. I don't know how many on the online. Celebrate new life at Living Faith. Lord, we thank you. We honor you, Lord, in this room. Blessed be the name of Jesus. Amen. If you'll connect with me here in the sanctuary at Living Faith Church and just said, I received Christ, that first dot, fill it in. And you rededicated or you received Christ, I'll pray for you. If you have a prayer need, give that back. I'll get that to you. Just fill that out. There's a place for prayer requests. Also, if you're on Facebook, I don't know if I'm still on. I don't think I am, but you can also, any prayer requests are also there. You can have those today. Amen. Amen and amen. If you're here at Living Faith and you receive Christ, it's vital that you take the Growing in Faith class. It's taught by Diana Ruiz. I think she's on the fourth row, third row right there. She'll give you information. She'll be at the Welcome Center. You can please tell her. She'll sign you up and you can be there at 9 a.m. It's a great class. It's our basics through discipleship today. We have that today. Amen. Mr. Rogers, at the end of his program, he'd always end it by hanging up his sweater and he'd say something like this. It's been a very special day just by being with you. And I like you just the way that you are. Amen. And he'd hang it up. And I like you just the way that you are. And it's been a special day today because we've been together. Amen. And so we receive the tithe and offering at Living Faith. And I always read Malachi. Amen. I got it right this time, right, Chuck? Amen. And so let's read that word together as we get our offering, our tithe together. If you came ready to give, just hold it in your hand and then we'll give together as a church today. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there will be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, if I'll not throw open the windows, the floodgates of heaven, pour out such a blessing that there will be not room enough to store it. Lucy Trejo on Facebook, when she saw the beautiful pictures of us unloading that warehouse full of clothing that had been there for 2 years from that dry cleaners, and she saw it taken into the U-Haul, she wrote something like this. She said, that reminds me how God's storehouse is always full because we're giving every piece of clothing will be given away. Every piece of clothing that we receive from the dry cleaner will be given away to somebody that needs clothing. But you know what God's going to do? He's going to bring us more clothing and more clothing because His supply doesn't run out. And I think it's a pipeline of blessing that when we have our tithe, that we couldn't even contain everything that was given to us. We had to drive a U-Haul to pick it up because it was so packed, full of clothing. Amen. And God wants to do the same thing in your life. That as you act as an act of obedience and you give your tenth and you give your tithe and your love offering above and beyond that, that there's not room enough to contain it because you have good health, that you have blessings from God, that you have wholeness, that your family comes to know Christ. Amen. This isn't something that we get rich because we get blessed. Amen. To be a blessing. And God uses you to be a blessing to other people. Amen. And as I finish up, the scripture says, I will prevent the pest from devouring your crops and the vines in your field and not drop fruit before it is ripe, says the Lord God Almighty. In other words, God's timing is perfect. Then all the nations will call you blessed because of your delightful land that you live in, says the Lord God Almighty. So, Lord, I thank you for the tithe and the offering. I thank you for the generous givers at Living Faith Church. Thank you, God. We love our church. And we love you, Lord. And we bless you now as we give our best right now to you. Amen. Would you stand to your feet? Would you worship God in your giving? Everybody standing now? Come on, everybody. Let's stand and worship the Lord together.